This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Diabetes and Eating Disorder channels. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Lorraine Platka-Bird, dietitian at Center for Hope of the Sierras, a specialized eating disorder treatment facility in Reno, Nevada. Dr. Platka-Bird, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. So I've heard about anorexia and bulimia, but what is diabulimia?
Diabulimia is a form of eating disorder that is specific to diabetics, and it is a situation where they restrict their insulin for the purpose of losing weight. So it's classified in the bulimia category. Anorexia is the eating disorder where they do not eat enough food. Bulimia is the eating disorder where they overeat or binge and then purge. And diabulimia, the reason the word is more associated with the word bulimia is because it is a means of getting rid of calories. So when they do not take their insulin, the calories that they consume are excreted from the body. And so it is classified in that way. With diabulimia, the technical term, it is normal eating and restricting insulin, or overeating and or binging and restricting insulin. Sometimes with diabulimia, the other forms of the eating disorder can show up, so it can be connected with anorexia and just not taking their insulin whenever they do eat. But the much more common manifestation is overeating, binging, and then not taking it.
So what are the symptoms of diabulimia?
The symptoms of diabulimia are pretty much the characteristic symptoms of somebody who is in very poorly managed diabetes. So often we have very erratic blood glucose levels, extremely high blood glucose levels, high A1C levels, and all of the complications that can go along with those elevated blood glucose levels. The other thing that we have going on with it is a situation where because they are binging, if they do take their insulin, it is very difficult for them to figure out how much insulin to take. And so sometimes if they do decide to take their insulin, if they have eaten, overeaten, or binged, sometimes they end up taking too much, and then we can get in a situation where their blood glucose levels are too low. And so the erratic blood glucose levels is typically another manifestation.
How can diabetics find a healthy weight without dangerously altering their insulin levels?
Well, we really work on people trying to find their natural body weight, not to seek a weight. So typically with the eating disorders in general, most people with eating disorders are trying to be at a weight that is lower than their natural weight. And so with eating disorders, in addition to diabulimia, we want them to work at finding what their natural weight is. So that involves eating intuitively, eating appropriately, eating foods that they enjoy, foods that they find satisfying, and then accepting their body weight at that weight. So for the person with diabulimia, we're going to apply the same principles of let's find out where your natural body weight is as a result of eating intuitively and taking all of your insulin as prescribed and getting good diabetes management.
Today we are with Dr. Lorraine Platka-Bird, dietitian at Center for Hope of the Sierras, a specialized eating disorder treatment facility in Reno, Nevada, here on eHealth Radio's Diabetes and Eating Disorder channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. How can diabetics learn what insulin level is best for them?
So they're going to work with their endocrinologist on that. So the insulin prescription comes from their endocrinologist, and work with their diabetes educator on that. Hopefully they're working with a certified diabetes educator. And between them, they will determine the appropriate level of insulin based on whether they are on shots or whether they are on a pump. And so with the diabulimia, it is typically not a problem with not having the correct insulin dosage. It is more a problem with not taking the insulin. One of the things that can also happen in this situation is that because they are not taking their insulin, their blood glucose levels are high, their A1C levels are high, they go to their endocrinologist. The endocrinologist, they're not honest with their endocrinologist about what is going on, so the endocrinologist thinks that they need more insulin than they are being prescribed, so they increase the insulin dosage, and that ends up being the wrong dosage, because if they had actually been taking the dosage that he or she had initially prescribed, they would be okay. It's just they're not taking it.
Eating disorders are often thought of as being entirely controlled and self-inflicted. Are people sick with an eating disorder really in control?
I don't know if control is a good word. I think that people with eating disorders, they view, so particularly with anorexia, they will view themselves as being in control because they are, quote-unquote, controlling how much they are eating, and they feel like that is a representation of good control. In my perspective, they are completely out of control because the eating disorder is controlling them. Everything that they can and cannot do is dictated by the eating disorder. So the eating disorder says, you can eat this, you can't eat this. I think with bulimia, they typically feel completely out of control. And with diabulimia, they feel completely out of control.
Since there is an overlap, or such an overlap, between the physical and psychological aspects, what kind of facility should someone with diabulimia be treated at?
The ideal situation, depending on the severity of the eating disorder, the severity of the diabulimia, the ideal situation is a residential level of care. This is what we do at the Center for Hope of the Sierras. We do have a specialty track that specializes in eating disorders and diabetes, that combination. And we do, when we bring people in, we do work both with the two of them together. It's a difficult process sometimes, because a lot of the principles that come with a diagnosis of diabetes say that you should be on a stricter diet, you should be not eating certain foods, and we promote intuitive eating. We promote that you can be on a more free diet, that you can eat the foods that you enjoy, you just have to dose for them. And so that is the ideal situation, where that is you have that level of support. We do have on staff an endocrinologist and 24-hour nursing, so they're getting that complete level of support 24 hours a day. If they're not able to go to the residential level of care, they definitely need to have obviously their endocrinologist, and then ideally a certified diabetes educator who specializes in eating disorders, so that both of those can be addressed. Because sometimes if people are addressing just the eating disorder, they're not properly attending to the diabetes. If they're addressing just the diabetes, they're not properly attending to the eating disorder. And so the two of those need to be dealt with together. So having that person who specializes in both eating disorders and diabetes is critical.
Well, certainly have appreciated your time spent here today. How about telling our listeners where they can get more information about Center for Hope of the Sierras online?
So that web address is centerforhopeofthesierras.crchelp.com.
Very good. And in conclusion, any closing thoughts or a final tip on today's topic?
I think that anybody who is struggling with diabetes and an eating disorder, or anybody who suspects there is, that a loved one or family member is struggling with diabetes and an eating disorder, that getting help is absolutely critical. The risks associated with it, the long-term complications, are much more severe. So the earlier they can get support, get their diabetes management back on track, the better.
I couldn't agree more. Dr. Plackett-Bird, thanks so much for being with us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Lorraine Plackett-Bird, dietitian at Center for Hope of the Sierras, a specialized eating disorder treatment facility in Reno, Nevada. And once again, the website of reference is centerforhopeofthesierras.crchelp.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Diabetes and Eating Disorder Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.